But Father, I just thank you and I praise you for those who came out to sit at your table to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I ask you right now to complete the works you started in each one of our lives this morning. Holy Spirit of God, we give you full, total, complete permission to do whatever needs to be done. And Father, we thank you for your angelic host who are here in this room doing the works that you sent them to do. And we truly do thank you for your Son, Jesus, for the cross, the blood, and the love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Everything's getting darker. Nothing's getting lighter. We have to be ever on an alert, constantly listen to the voice of the Father. If not, we're not going to make it. The enemy has sent so many things our way to distract us, you know, and to fill our ears with other voices. And, you know, just to take us down a side road that God does not want us to go on. And I know that, you know, because of the emails I get and the telephone calls I get, that everybody's being just tried and tested us to the very core. But every time God gives them a word, it's always, the answers are right there. And they really are right there, and God really is getting ready to pour out his glory. And when he pours out his glory, you know, everything is going to be in that glory that we have need of. And the enemy is really trying to take you out before that glory comes. The glory is already here. We just need the miracles part of the glory. And God said the body of Christ still is not ready to receive. Now, not all the body of Christ, so don't go there. The shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't. But the body of Christ is still not ready to receive his glory. They will not yield themselves over to what they need to yield themselves over to in order for God to do the miracles that he needs to do within their lives. God woke me up the other morning with a word to give you this morning. But before I give that word, I just want to teach you something here because this goes along with the word. So it's our gift to him. Today, this is why you have your communion cup. Today, we're going to give our gift to God. All right? So over 2,000 years ago, John was born to a barren womb, and Jesus was born to a virgin womb. Everybody knows the story of these two men. John was thrown in prison and beheaded at the request of Herod's wife, and Jesus was beaten, hung on a cross, and died for our sins. Let's just stop right there. These were two of the most famous men in the Bible, but they were persecuted the whole time they walked the earth. People were always trying to kill John the Baptist, and they were always trying to kill Jesus. And finally, a woman who didn't like what he told the truth about who she was. That upset her, so she got him beheaded. Jesus also was telling the truth. It upset the people, and he died on the cross. In the body of Christ, if you tell the truth, people don't like it, and they want you beheaded. Amen. But you know what? We have to, just like John the Baptist had to tell the truth, Jesus had to tell the truth. If you're a vessel that God's using, then you have to tell the truth too. And God says in his word, don't look at their faces. Keep your eyes upon him and do what he's telling you to do. And I know right now it's hard to tell the truth. It's not hard to tell the truth. It's hard to watch people do with the truth that you tell them. And what they do is get very upset with that truth. Instead of letting it sink into their spirit man and change them, they come against the messenger. So if you're going to be out there preaching the gospel, you need to know that they're going to come against you if you're teaching the truth. If you're not teaching the truth, they'll think you're the greatest thing on earth. But if you're speaking the truth, they're going to come against you. So let's just get that settled in her spirit once again. All right. The angel talking to Mary said in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." See, Mary's just minding her own business, and here comes this little angel, big angel, whatever he was. He tells her, "You're going to be pregnant. And it's going to be a miracle pregnancy." All right, so here you are. You're just sitting, minding your own business. And here comes an angel of God speaking to you and telling you what great things God's going to do through you. And if you're going to be just like Mary, she's going to think, "Wow, you know, what's this all about?" And you're going to think, "Wow, how can I ever do these things that God just prophesied to me that I'm going to do?" All right? The word doesn't change. Once again, God is searching for people who will allow him to overshadow them and be filled with power from on high and bring hope to the hurting. And we know that you here who are members of Lighthouse Church, God has dealt with us for 10 years now, and he's brought us through all kind of trials and tribulations. And God wants to breathe upon us, and he's been breathing upon us, but he wants to do a deeper breathing upon us to take us to a place where no matter what we go through, we're going to be able to endure it. All right, Matthew 2:1-2 tells us that gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the gifts the Magi presented to the Christ child when they came to worship him. Now, each gift had a spiritual significance. The great value of gold made it a gift that was commonly given to kings. The gold represented Christ's royalty as a king of kings. Priests used aromatic frankincense to burn incense to God during grain offerings and to symbolize the prayers of his people going up to him like a fragrant aroma. So the frankincense represented Christ as the priest, the mediator between God, the Father, and man. Now, myrrh was used by the Jews to embalm the dead, including the body of Jesus, after he was taken from the cross. So the myrrh represented the death of Christ on our behalf as a savior of the world. All right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Altogether, the Magi's gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh represented Christ as king, priest, and Savior. You know, you can put this on our level. God, I'm talking to you men. God wants you to be the king and the priest in your household, and he wants you to be the Savior. In other words, he wants you to get yourself right so you can get your household right. We don't see that, though, do we? We just see men just sort of drifting along, doing their own thing, allowing the women to do everything in the household, you know, bringing up their children and bringing Christ into that household. And God wants you to be the king, the priest, and the savior of your household. All right. These wise men knew that it was fitting to bring gifts to the Lord when they went to see him. Yet, have you ever thought, what about us when we see the Lord? What will be our gift to him? Now, I want you to think about this, because he tells us what gift to give to him. When we leave the earth, we cannot bring anything with us, so the life we live will be our gift to him, and this will be the greatest gift we can bring him. So each one of you need to start thinking about how you're living your life. Are you living for God? Are you really giving him a pure gift, or are you giving him a tarnished gift? I know that there are a lot of people sitting in the house of God who have two faces, and God's been telling us that for years, one for the church and one for the world. And in other words, you can sit in the house of God and look like you're God himself, but once you get out with the world, you're the devil himself. And this is not pleasing to God. All right, we see in this story that the wise men sacrificed their time and resources to travel from afar to worship and give these valuable gifts to Christ. Read that again. We see in this story that the wise men sacrificed their time and resources to travel from afar to worship and give these valuable gifts to Christ. Likewise, our gift to Him, the way we live our life, following the Lord at any cost, it is our worship to our King, Priest, and Savior. Likewise, our gift to Jesus, the way we live our life, following the Lord at any cost, is our worship to our King, Priest, and Savior. The wise men knew that what they gave Christ should be valuable, so their gifts cost them something. In the same way, it is fitting that our gift to the Lord also has a cost. 2 Samuel 24:24. But the king said to Arab, "No, I've got to buy it from you for a good price. I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice." So David bought the threshing floor and the ox, paying out 50 shekels of silver. See, the guy wanted to give David this, but David said, "No, I'm buying this for my God, and it has to be a perfect gift." King David spoke well in 2 Samuel 24:24 when he said, "I will not offer to the Lord my God what costs me nothing." The body of Christ needs to get that mindset. When we think about this, we understand that to be saved costs us nothing because Jesus paid the price for us. However, to be a disciple costs us everything. It will cost each of us our whole life. Are you seeing that? Salvation was paid for on the cross by Jesus. But now to be a true disciple, really to be a follower of Christ, is going to cost you everything. What happened to Job? Job lost absolutely, positively everything he owned, in it, including his children and his health. But whenever Job paid the ultimate price, eventually God gave him more in the end than he had in the beginning. So whatever you give to God, God is going to give it back to you 100-fold. But we shouldn't give anything to God with that mindset. We should give the very best to God because that's how much we love Him. "Well, I'll give you 15 minutes today, God, and you think that's great." No, that's not a good gift to God. All right, this truth is expressed in Matthew 10:38 when Jesus said, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it." You see that? Every day you get out of bed, you have to take up your cross. Some days that cross gets pretty heavy, doesn't it? And you have to follow him. Jesus said, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." See that? It doesn't matter what that cross holds for that day. You pick it up. Just like Jesus did when he went to Calvary. It doesn't matter what it is. You can't pick and choose what's on your cross for the day because God already has your future all planned out before you. You know, you just need to say, "God, you know, as I get out of this bed, whatever you have planned for my day, I take it willingly." And then as the day goes on and you see what's on that day, you say, "Oh, God," you start crying a little bit, you know, and you say, "Well, you know, I said I take it willingly." All right. Because let's just admit it. Let's be honest. Some days are harder than other days with your cross. You know, and you're looking for a great day and the devil gets in there and shows you you're not going to have a great day. But we have to. We can't give up, can't sit down, you know, because the devil throws a curveball. We have to keep on going. That's what Jesus did. He didn't have to go up Calvary's Hill, you know. But he knew he had to carry his cross to the very end. And you and I need to do the very same thing. No matter what's on that cross, we have to carry it to the very end. Okay, so therefore, when we accept the cost to follow Christ daily, being led by the Holy Spirit, then we find our true life, the life God intended us to live. And this true life will be the proper and most valuable gift that we can give Him. Say that again. Therefore, when we accept the cost, when we accept, that's the word, key word, the cost to follow Christ daily, being led by the Holy Spirit. That's another key word, being led by the Holy Spirit, not your flesh. Then we find our true life, the life God intended us to live. And this true life will be the proper and most valuable gift that we can give Him. When the wise men saw Christ, they fell down and worshipped Him. Likewise, when we finally see the Lord's face, we too will worship Him. Yet worship is not only our words of adoration in song or prayer, but it is how we live. It is seeking to adore, honor, and please the Lord in what we say and do every day. You know, I can tell how deep you are in God whenever I watch how you understand with the whole moving of the Holy Spirit. Do you know when you're in the house of God and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you just start weeping? What's happened is the Holy Spirit has taken you over and you can't control that weeping. And what you do is you just go ahead and give in to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do whatever He plans to do over that movement in your life, with that movement in your life. It could be God's going to use you to minister somebody. It could be there's just something in you that God's dealing with. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit falls on you and God starts dealing with these issues. But instead, we get all befuddled because we don't understand the Holy Spirit. We don't walk in the Holy Spirit. And we blame others for what we go through. Don't ever blame somebody else for what you go through. God has your life all planned out. If you took a side road, then don't blame somebody else. Blame your own self. You got on that side road. God didn't take you there. The Holy Spirit didn't take you there. Somebody else didn't take you there. After all, this is your body, and you determine where it's going to go. You might make some foolish decisions and let this body take you where it shouldn't go, but quit blaming it on somebody else. All right? It is seeking to adore, honor, and please the Lord in what we say and do every day. So our worship not only comes with our gift to Him, but it is our gift. So our worship not only comes with our gift to Him, but it is our gift to Him. Whenever you sit here, when you decide, I'm not going to sing today, you're withholding the gift that God wants from you. Because He wants you to worship Him. Or if you stand here and you get all upset because of a certain song that's sung, you're withholding God's gift. I can tell you, every praise and worship first service we go through, God puts it together. And so if you don't like what's being sung, then you're coming against God. Not me, but against God. All right, collectively, the Magi's gifts and worship to Christ were their offering to Him. How many of you just lately just start crying for no reason and then you just start singing to the Father? You sort of collapse in a chair or something because you don't know what's going on, but you know it's really deep. And the only thing you can do is give in to the Father. I don't know about what you're going through, but just the other night, it was just all night and it wasn't bad. But I knew something was going on. It wasn't a pressure, but I can't describe it. I really can't. But the thing would not lift. And so I just laid my head on my desk because I was studying. And I just said, Father God, whatever this is, I give it to You. And I just started singing. It did not lift all the way, but I did have a release. Now, I don't know. I think it was somebody else. But if I wouldn't have given in to it, it just kept pressing and pressing and pressing on me. And I know that's the Holy Spirit. So if it doesn't lift just by me sitting there praying, then I have to do something else more drastic. And that's just collapse at His feet and tell him, God, whatever this is, it's yours. Whoever this is, Father, send the angels to minister to them. Are you listening here? If you're truly a child of God, God will put that weight on you for other people. Really will. You know, God told me one time, your name's known all around the world. I have people all around the world praying for you. And so if he does that to me, he does that for you too. And just this week, my daughter called me. She says, Mom, God had me really pray for you really super hard yesterday. She said, you were going through something. See, you know, God is, whoever is a yielded body to God, he will lay it upon you to pray for somebody else. All right? That's your gift to him. I'm your vessel, Father. I'm not worried about what's going on with me 24/7. If you, somebody else needs prayer, let me know. And sometimes you won't know who it is. You just know somebody needs prayer, and you just give it to God. All right? Okay. I said, collectively, the Magi's gifts in worship to Christ were their offering to him. In the same way, when we happily accept the total cost of being a disciple by seeking to please him with our words and actions every day, this is our worship to the Lord, and this is our gift to him. Furthermore, as God gives us the gift of life every day, our gift to him is not only what we offer to him when our eyes behold him, but it is what we are to give him every day of our life. Somebody said to me yesterday, help me, help me. I said, I can't do what you need me to do, but I am praying. And they said, well, then keep praying. I just need you to do something. You know, you might not be able to physically do something, but you know how to pray. And you know, you know how to pray until that burden lifts. If you don't, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're praying for somebody, keep praying until the burden lifts. All right? Finally, let's remember that life is a gift from God, and the way we live it is our gift to him. Every parent's going to stand before God one day and be held accountable for how they raised their children. And God told me one time, this is not your child, this is my child, and I give them as a gift to you to raise them up in my ways, and you will be held accountable for how you raise them. So don't get so puffed up, parents. Look what I made. No, that's what God gave you. And he gave that gift to you so you could raise it up in the ways of the Father. All right. This is what God woke me up the other morning, giving me for today. It is imperative that my people give me their sins as a gift of repentance. My son Jesus came to earth as a gift of salvation. Read that again. It is imperative, and he said this, he was really strong with this. It is imperative that my people give me their sins as a gift of repentance. I don't care what your sin is. It could be doubt and unbelief. You know, it could be, not reading the Bible the way you ought. It could be anything. All right? Well, I'm not in sexual sin. Sin is sin. And so it's whatever you know you're doing that is not pleasing to God. God is calling it a sin. My son Jesus came to earth as a gift of salvation. God said, always remember, you cannot take back a gift. Once God gives you a gift, he never takes it back. You can be, when I was first born again, these people had all the gifts working, but then I found out they were also in deep sin. I said, God, how can this be? And I should have wrote the scripture down. There is a scripture that says, once God gives you a gift, if you backslide, you still have that gift. All right? So just because you see somebody working miracles doesn't mean they're a saint. Remember that. That's why God says, check the fruit. All right, always remember, you cannot take back a gift. Therefore, when you give me your gift of sin, it is mine, and you cannot take it back. That's the important part. God said, as you give me your gifts, I will take them and return unto you threefold what the enemy used this sin to steal, kill, and destroy from your destiny. So you're going to give him a gift, but he's going to give you more back than what you gave him. Oh, and God said, oh, ye of little faith, since when can I not take these gifts and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness? You find that in Matthew 8:26, Matthew 14:31. It's also in Mark and Hebrews. God said, since when am I a too small God? I can and want to do anything you ask of me this morning. I stand by waiting for you to hand over your gift. I have in my hands the power to destroy all the works of the evil one. I am just waiting for you to turn it all over to me. Let's read that again. I have in my hands the power to destroy all the works of the evil one. I am just waiting for you to turn it all over to me. See, some of you say, I gave it to God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You did it with your lips, but not with your heart. And that's why you're still in your sin. God said the everlasting Father wants to be in control of this final phase of your life. To be or not to be is a question. To be free or not to be free. God said, as you give me your gift, I will give you the gifts I have waiting for you. Remember he told us a while back that he has a storehouse full of gifts for each one of us? You need to understand that I am a gift giver. I constantly want to give good gifts to my children. In Matthew 7:9-11, Jesus says, excuse me, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Will you look up the communion scripture, Chris? I didn't bring it. So that's why you have your communion. And what you're going to do today is we're going to do communion. And while you're doing communion, you need to think of what gift you, what sin nature you have. God said he wants them all. What sin nature you have that you have to turn over to God? What did he say? To be or not to be is a question. Do you want God to control your life or do you want to control your life? Do you want to be truly 100% free from this sin nature? Or do you want to hang on to part of it? Some of you in here, you don't walk in humility, even though you think you do. You're not humble. Some of you think you've been free from a Jezebel spirit. You still have a Jezebel spirit. I'm just giving you ideas of what, you know, it could be your gift. You know, some of you think you walk in total love, but you're not. You're jealous of other people's, and jealousy has no part of love. So just think, as you're sitting there, prepare yourself. Just think what it is that you need to give to God, because he said he wants it. Isn't that what he said? It's for this morning, right? And remember, he says, once you give it to him, you can't take it back. You know, yeah, it's his. Because when, all right, you know, Kenneth Copeland one time bought his son a truck. And he got mad at his son, so he took the keys from him. And God spoke to Kenneth Hagin and said, you call him ask him that when I give him a gift, do I take it back? And Kenneth Copeland said, no. And then God told me to tell you, give the keys back to your son, because you gave him that truck as a gift and you have no right to take it away from him again. All right. So God wants you, if you truly want to be free this morning, give him that gift. And don't you take it back from God. All right? And God said, many of you are wavering, you're teeter-tottering on the brink of slipping the wrong way. So if I was you, I'd really think really hard of where I'm really at in my walk with God. And I would make sure I'm giving him everything that would cause me to fall in the wrong direction. God is all powerful. He can do anything he wants to do. But his word tells us one thing he will not do is go against your will. He will not say, you will give me that. Or he won't say, I'm going to yank that out of you when you want to hold on to it. Did you find the scriptures? Does everybody have their communion cup? We're going to read, and then you take communion. Go ahead, Chris. I can't hear you, Chris. I still can't hear Christopher.
This is Luke 22, 19 to 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.
Go ahead and take your communion. You know, God has final phases for the Lighthouse Church to go through so we can walk in the glory and in the miracles. Everything God's been doing for quite a while now is preparing us for the final step into the glory. And this is, I figure, to me, this is a big step. We're supposed to be just like Jesus, right? Okay, now the next step in this is you know in your mind and your heart what your gift is, right? You need to come up to the altar and give it to God.